quality of Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Antonio Sabato Jr. is our guest tonight.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
And how dare you let the show interrupt our discussion?
I know.
How dare you?
We were talking about earthquakes and how I read a report today that said a big one is going to hit Southern California area somewhere between now and like September 5th or something. So it's really like just 4 months.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So all you folks that were planning on moving out to Southern Cal, be prepared.
That's as opposed to the 400 other four-month intervals they predicted over the last 5 years. That
well, they evidently were on the last time they did
really?
This. Oh. Yeah. So, like I said, be prepared. And like I said, all you folks, we got people listening. They're in Utah. They're in Texas. Another Texas place called Burbank.
Oh.
Not sure where that is. I think the Louisiana area. Think twice before you head out to Southern California.
Yeah, please.
We got the sun. We got the babes. We also have the wrath of God.
Punishment for living here.
Yeah, and if you think about it, the earth shaking. I mean, you can talk tornadoes. You can talk locusts, but shaking of the earth.
What did Zeus do
when
he got mad?
He shook the San Fernando Valley.
He takes some kind of lightning bolt and throws it at the ground and make the whole thing shake.
That's right. And let me tell you something about earthquake. It doesn't know what religion you are. It doesn't know what color you are. It only knows if you're Korean, and then it goes after you. That's what my grandparents always told me, so I felt better.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we? Big earthquake hitting.
Now, that's always a sort of a nefarious prediction, though, because is it going to be in Santa Barbara, in San Diego? Where are we?
Yeah, and also, there's, 700,000 miles of fault between here and Oregon.
Is it going to be in Riverside or is it going to be in Burbank?
Well, this one, they think that, we're going to be in the ocean somehow. The California is going to be part of, Hawaii.
That'd be nice.
Which it wouldn't be a bad idea. So since I live on the beach, then I'm looking forward to that. So maybe I'll just open the house and I'll be right on the beaches of Maui.
Just get your board out.
It'd be great if it broke off in just such a way where your house became some sort of land bridge passage where you could charge incredible amounts of money for people and trucks to actually go by your lawn. Like
exactly.
You had the only... just put one of those lift gates they had
enough.
In Hogan's Heroes.
We're getting too crazy now.
All right. Antonio is here plugging a little project called The Help, which airs Fridays at 9:30 on the WWWB. And season finale airs this Friday, April 16th. That's this Friday. Yeah?
Yeah,
it's Friday.
Yeah, you play a self-absorbed fitness trainer. Still look good in your underpants, huh?
Yeah, I try to do the best I can what I have,
Yeah, I mean, you stay in shape. Antonio, probably most famous for his underpants ads, amongst other things, but and it's not a bad thing to be famous for.
No, I got a lot of them for free, which I was really happy about.
Hey,
you need underpants, man.
The Calvin Klein stuff adds up, too. It's like $18-$20 for
a
the midways.
Yeah,
you get
man.
Those long ones, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing about the underpants. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to get the Chubb pack. The ones had like 37 in there, and they're like $11. And
Little red, white, and blue stripe down the elastic.
Yeah. Well, the white was just the white of the elastic.
Yeah.
I think they had the red. Yeah, that was
a little blue stripe, tiny little pinstripe around your waist.
Yeah, that was always
fashionable.
Nice. But I'll tell you, everyone, do yourself a favor. Get the midway. Ones, huh?
The midways,
the boxer briefs.
Yeah. And you know what? When you go out and buy socks, get the nappy ones.
Yeah.
Get the ones that got some cush to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gold toe ones are nice, but don't get the little skimpy ones.
Yeah,
yes?
They won't last you long. Yes.
All right. So, WB, The Help, this Friday. That's tomorrow night, by the way, 9:30.
Yeah.
Watch Antonio on that. Anything else? Any other projects? Any other stuff? Any books?
No, but I had a book come out a few years ago called No Excuses. Kind of
workout book?
A workout book. Kind of, express my feelings about what's working out turned out to be. And then later, in the last 10 years or so, about, just the people want to take the perfect pill, want to have the perfect machine, all that stuff, you know. But
and
truth
what
of the matter, you got to just go in and do something for yourself, go running, go do whatever, but, you know.
What do you think about, like, all this Atkins stuff? And, you know, McDonald's is coming out with a low-calorie menu and all this. I think this is what you're saying, which is there's to be a certain amount of sacrifice involved with getting into shape. I mean, if you ain't ready
like
to put up
else,
with just
yeah.
a little bit of pain, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like working out. I hate it. I hate going to gyms, but I got to do it. You know, I got to be outside or I got to do some sort of, you know, sports or something, you know, and I got to be active for my kids and to be healthy. But, you know, there's always going to be some catch, you know, out there, you know. Low calories, fat-free, all that stuff. But, you know, there's nothing such thing as fat-free.
Well, think about the, remember the big wave with this Olestra and all these fat-free and all this all this stuff about 3 or 4 years ago?
And people died. People got hurt.
Not only that, they had like a projectile diarrhea. And
oh, that's the worst,
nobody's
man.
Lost an ounce.
Yeah,
and
well, here's the
it
deal.
Didn't do anything.
Right. First of all, there are essential fatty acids that you've got to take, number one. And number two, fat satiates appetite. The fat, it turns out, can help you in a diet.
You can
certain
eat
amounts
an entire,
of
like, jumbo family sack of those no-calorie, no-fat Funyuns.
And be hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And here's the deal, though. There's the real nut, the sort of problem that's not been cracked is the question of motivational systems and how people get momentum with eating and how do you break that momentum and how do you get people willing to go through the misery of sort of detoxing from compulsive carbohydrate or heavy calorie intake.
All right, so this is an interesting thing, and then we go right to the phones, which is we've been focusing almost completely on the food when we should not be focusing on the snack wells. I mean, let's face it, if you got an eating problem or you're overweight or you're whatever, them coming out with low calorie Hydrox cookies is not going to solve anything for you.
See, the thing is, if you're not sweating, your body's not going to lose any weight. So no matter how much you take or fat free stuff or pills or whatever you're going to take, that's literally all bad for you at the end of the day. But besides that, if you're going to take all this stuff and you're not sweating, you're not losing any weight. And if you're eating and not sweating, even if you eat one bar a day, you're still not going to lose any weight. But so you got to do something to lose that weight.
You start smoking the crack, you start sweating.
Yeah, you know, do whatever.
Speed too will make sweat.
Speed will sweat you up.
All right.
If you think about it, and then we're getting to these phone calls, but if you think about it, you know, back in the 40s and the 50s, they had all these gadgets that we all laugh at now, these boxes that sweat you, these belts that shake your ass. We look back
the sweatpants.
On it now.
Remember the sweatpants?
The plastic ones.
We look
back on it and we go, ho-ho, what were we thinking? But 30 years, 40 years from now, when they look at the, you know, potato chips with no fat and the low cholesterol.
What's in it? If there's
cookies
no fat, what is
and
it?
All this kind of they're going to be getting a pretty good laugh, too, considering when they look at the chart next to it and they see how much weight we're all putting on.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. Throw everything out the window. Start eating a little less. Start sweating. You'll be fine.
And prepare to be miserable for a little while.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but turn that into a kind of a satisfaction.
Well, that's an interesting
Not one. Everything that makes you feel good feels good.
But
yes,
exactly.
True.
Oh, that's genius,
true.
Genius,
true.
I tell
Hold on,
you.
Did you hear
that?
Let me say
you're
it again.
Wild man.
Let me
you're
say
wild
it again.
Man.
Did you hear that? Let me say it again.
I'm listening.
I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
Something about the earthquake, right?
Just don't drop trowel.
Okay.
Don't do it.
I'll do it. I'll drop trowel. All right, go ahead, Drew. What were you saying?
I forget.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And Drew, if you do remember it, don't say anything.
Don't worry.
That'll be enough. Amanda?
Hi.
You're 16?
Yeah, how are you?
Good.
Good. I took the birth control pill on Saturday, and then the next one on Sunday morning. And then about probably Monday and Tuesday, I was getting really nauseated.
You started a packet of which pill?
Yeah.
Which pill?
I don't know. I got it from Planned Parenthood. It just said, Plan B on it.
But you took the morning after pill.
Yeah, the morning after pill, yeah.
Okay, all right.
And
congratulations, by the way, for being evolved and wise.
Mm-hmm.
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 And?
I took it, probably just a little bit over 24 hours after having sex.
Great.
So
it will work.
Yeah, I got my period today, and I'm not supposed to get my period for about 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks. Is that normal?
That's fine. It'll screw up your period a little bit for a couple of months, possibly.
Okay.
Very commonly. So just don't worry about that. Did you throw up at all after taking the second
dose?
No,
I didn't.
Great. You're fine.
Okay.
Don't sweat it. You may have kind of weird periods for about 6 weeks or so.
Okay. Yep. I was just wondering about that.
Good times.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk to Ashley, who's 20. Ashley?
Hi there.
What's happening?
It's a long story. I've got a boyfriend that I've been seeing for on and off for about 4 years now. And I started dating him my junior year of high school. And then the summer going into we were in our senior year. And he had dropped out.
How was your senior year? Tough year?
Yeah, it was a very tough year. But
weather okay that year?
Who'd you have for homeroom?
I didn't have homeroom.
No homeroom?
No, we didn't have that kind of stuff here.
Oh, my goodness. What? Here. Where is here?
Texas.
Put her on hold for a second.
They don't have home. Texas medium sized state. Small to medium sized state.
Okay.
They lack a lot of things.
They don't have homeroom?
No, we don't have homeroom. We have like block scheduling where you only have like 4 classes a day.
Adam, hang on, I got to talk to you. You know how we talk about people can't understand when we're talking to them?
Yeah.
They also don't understand how to ask a question.
Yes.
They have no sense of what's important and not important, what we need to know or not need to know. I think in general, a good rule of thumb for our callers is no more than 3 sentences.
Yes.
And within those 3 sentences, we should understand the question.
And one of the sentences should be
high.
I
love
praise.
Your show. I love your show. Yeah.
Colossal praise. Yeah. Hey, Adam.
You're the greatest.
I saw you at the market.
Well, that's 2,
TV doesn't do justice to you.
Right,
I mean, really, you're a good-looking
4.
Kid.
Oh, 5. Wow. The guy's done.
If the, guy's,
the praise doesn't count,
but
I guess.
He's on a roll, you're on a roll. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to cut you off.
Fair enough.
See what I'm saying?
All right. Antonio Sabato, Jr.
Yes.
Well, what's the question, anyway?
She didn't ask a question.
Oh,
that's the point.
Okay.
Ashley, just
ask. Okay, my question is I'm wondering if, like, the relationship that I'm in now is worth staying in.
The one currently.
Well, do you love the guy or not?
Yeah, I love the guy. That's not the question at all. I mean, I'm totally...
What do you mean is not the question? If you love the man...
Well, he may be a heroin addict who's physically abusive or something.
But if you love him, you got to see if it's worth it.
I found out through, like, friends, not even through friends, through the internet, actually, because he had a web page my senior year that like, had all of this gay stuff on it. So I confronted him on it. We're still dating, you know... And he's like, well, yeah, I think I might be gay.
Oh, wait, hold on. You think he's gay?
No, he said he's gay.
He said he's gay.
Right. Well, then he comes back to me this last year, and he's like, you know, I love you. Everything's great, you know.
How long have you been with him for?
Well, before then, I'd been with him for a little over a year.
All right, you don't know if he's gay or not?
Ashley, let's get right to it. Was he a sexual abuse survivor?
Yes.
Yes, he was sexually abused.
Yes.
So you know he was an abuse victim. You know
we both were. So
you were sexually abused. He was sexually abused. You know you.
Right.
Did you have any ambivalence about your sexual orientation because of that?
You.
So you understand what that does. You.
Right.
You understand that it can kind of mess with your boundaries and mess with your sense of yourself.
Oh, definitely.
All right. In his case, it has really caused more serious confusion than in yours.
Yes.
And
right.
Although you know, from your standpoint, it's like, well, I was abused, therefore. He should sort of have the same kind of emotional life as me. No, he may be much more seriously disturbed than you.
Yeah. I wonder if sexual abuse tweaks guys more than women. I think
when
it does.
When it's by a guy and...
Ooh. Well, if it's not a dude, it's not sexual abuse. I mean, come on, Drew. Use your brain. I don't care if you got a 28-year-old babysitter going at it with a 4-year-old boy.
Then it's not.
That is a gift.
I see.
You understand?
Yes, I beg your pardon.
That is manna.
I stand corrected.
Manna from the apartment.
Be that
above,
as it may, we are talking about a male sexually abused by a male.
Well, this is a male that sexually abused him?
Yes, sir.
Let's face it. The sexual abusing is not done by females. I mean, we always go, whoa, when that happens by a female. It's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Whether it's being done to a female or a male, it's done by a male.
Right. Yeah, dudes are the only ones who think it's a good idea to sexually approach 7-year-olds. That's almost exclusively a guy's idea.
Mm-hmm.
God bless us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very evolved beings.
Only 42-year-old guys, males, think it's a great idea to take a role with a 6- or 7-year-old. That's exclusively a guy.
Yeah, guys are
pretty
sick.
Yeah.
Ashley, here's the deal.
They're a mess.
If you want to hang in with this, maybe get him some treatment, make sure he's in treatment, and get him to sort of clarify, you know, declare a major, as it were. But even then, you're in for a very tumultuous ride here, I suspect.
Ashley?
Yeah.
This is going to be trouble. Sorry.
Yeah.
Lots of confusion, lots of acting
out.
Lots
of chaos. Is he a drug addict, too?
No
drugs. That's good.
All right. I think you ought to just cut bait with this one.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I don't think you're up for it.
Really?
Well, have you talked to him about it? Have you guys?
Well, I mean, we stayed friends the whole time. I mean, I went through hell my senior year because everyone found out he was gay and everything like that, and you know. It was just hell. It was pure hell. And
well, Ashley, we don't even know that he is gay. We just know that he's confused and he's chaotic.
Oh, no. He went out and did his gay thing for 2 years. And then he came back to me and was like, I love you, you know.
Yes. Like I don't know what he is.
Right, no, you should move on. There's other things in life.
I'd go out, clear my head, get some AIDS. Now I'm back. All right. Ashley, come on. Right. You got abused, and that's why you're putting up with this crap.
Yeah, I deserve better than that.
I'm sorry. I don't want to punish him, but I'm just trying to be realistic. It's mm-hmm. like some house that you don't have the tools to repair.
Yeah. Right. She's too young to go through this
stuff. And it's like saying, look, the house shouldn't be burnt down, but some couple that has some resources, some tools, and some time should come in and lovingly restore
it.
Older couple.
Yeah.
Older lesbian couple.
Fine.
Yeah, perfect. You know, I watch all those home improvement shows.
Yeah.
And three-quarters, whenever a couple gets together and wants to fix up a house, it's always a gay couple. It's always the guys or it's the ladies. And it's always weird how they introduce them. They're always like, in 1977, this colonial Hartford house was purchased by Marge Schatzenberger and... her friend Gail. It's always like, huh? Her friend. It's always a second, like, what are these two buddies? Then you see your friend sitting there with the big crocheted belt, the short cropped hair, and you're like, oh, I see. And then they start talking. You know? Gail immediately went into the underpinning, got a 3/4-ton bottle jack, and started just jacking up floor joists. It was elbow. Over there, boy, I tell you, the mud was flying. She was forming. She was cracking the whip, leading the Mexicans around by their nose. And it's like, okay, all right, it's all coming together now. Now I got her friend.
And why should that bother us?
It doesn't.
Yeah,
I like
it. Humans don't disappoint, right?
No, it's they're good. There's something wonderful about that.
Huh?
It's better because you got people that are into it.
Yeah.
And so you got my wife just yelling at me about when I'm going to be done with the house. You know what I mean? Where's my Gail? Antonio,
I've told you we could be a great couple.
Antonio could be my Gail.
Yeah,
I'll be a Gail.
Up on that ladder in his underpants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, showing my tushy to you. You know how it is.
Getting us
painting.
A deal on those midways. Honey, a new crate of underpants showed up today. Oh, yeah. It'd be great, Drew. I'd be working on the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Drew, what do you want? Germany or Florida?
Yep.
This is a big game here. Antonio, we're going to have to explain Germany or Florida to her.
Germany
Antonio.
Or Florida.
Amanda?
Yeah, hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
Here's how the game goes. All bizarre stories either emanate from Germany or Florida. It's one or the other.
Okay.
Especially the crime ones. The ones where people are, you know, putting their cats in catapults and launching them into rivers and stuff like that. And
that's
I'm not
so weird, though.
But I'm not just talking about basic holdups or liquor store robberies or child abuse cases. I'm talking about bizarre stuff. It's either Germany or Florida. So Amanda gives us a story, and then we guess, is it Germany or Florida?
Okay.
All right.
Things are
they're true, right? They're both true.
They're true. Some in Nazis, sex meth and death fetishes, both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
That's by the way, when Theo came back on the air, I knew immediately it was him.
You have that gift.
Yeah.
That's the only gift you have, Drew.
That's the one.
That's the one.
It's wonderful.
Amanda?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
It was the hairdo that almost cost a hairdresser her life. A hairdresser thought she had done a reasonable job of trying to redden a customer's jet black hair last year. But after a weekend of phone insults, the irritated customer returned to her shop and stabbed the hairdresser 14 times. One of the blows punctured the hairdresser's lung and came within an inch of killing her. The customer recently pleaded guilty to intentionally causing serious injury and aggravated burglary.
Mm-hmm. You said she punched her or she stabbed her?
She stabbed her.
Punctured her
lung. Okay.
And weren't she? She said a word in there.
Arete or something? That's not a German word. And that's the kind of thing that Americans would put on us.
I pick Florida.
Really?
Florida, too.
Yeah.
Florida?
Florida's a mess.
Antonio goes to Florida. I'm going Florida, too. This is not German behavior. Florida.
No, you're wrong. It's Germany.
Wow. Oh, see, let me explain something. Antonio, that's why you have to play Germany or Florida, because we could sit here and say Florida all night long, but we never know until we actually climb into the ring and find out, is it Germany or Florida? Look at
that's interesting.
That was a good one.
All stumped.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, I want to go to Germany. You know, I go to Germany a lot. That's
you do?
Interesting. Yeah, because I race the Porsche GT3 on my time off. I do a couple races. So I go with my training as a Stuttgart.
We're going to be talking.
No.
Yeah. That new GT3, Adam. I was telling Drew about that. Just, what was it?
2 days ago, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, you're thinking about getting one? Yeah.
I love it. It's about 100 grand for that car.
Yeah, about 115, something like that.
Nice car.
Yeah.
And you race, I mean, they're sort of factory race cars.
Yeah.
I put a roll
chassis,
cage in them. And,
the ones I have, they have nothing inside. But
they're roll gutted. Cage. It's got the race seat.
Race seat, extinguishers, and all that stuff.
Is there a series?
Yeah, the Michelin Super Cup, it's called, that they do 11 races out of the 18 that
Formula One does. Is there a factory vehicle series?
Yeah, they're all by Porsches, and then the sponsors come in, and we get all that.
And all the cars... set up same way.
Yeah.
I mean, the
same tires.
The engines are fairly stock.
They're all the same.
They just do a little, some safety stuff, and they lighten it up a little bit.
Yep.
They tweak
chassis,
the suspension a little bit.
Cars are identical.
That's beautiful.
That's fun.
That is exciting. And you go to Stuttgart, too?
I go to Stuttgart, go to Berlin and Munich. And so to hear this from Germany, it was like, I picked Florida, but it was like.
Where's your car?
My car is, I have a Porsche here, but I have the truck. I have the Porsche SUV.
Cayenne.
Oh, the Cayenne
Turbo.
But what I mean
is... Oh, my car is kept in Stuttgart.
Yeah. Is the series... Probably a guy driving it going like on a beer run right now, by the way. Is the series all go on in Germany?
No, they go on all over Europe, and then the last one is at Indianapolis.
And which, so does the car need to be shipped all over Europe?
Yeah, they put them on planes, and they take them on planes all the way to Indianapolis. That's the furthest one they have to take them to. They're 24 cars.
Here's what impresses Adam. Do you have your own racing shoes?
I have a few. I guess they get in quickly.
Could be you use racing shoes.
My suit, my fireproof suit, has to be FIA regulated and stuff. Yeah.
Sure. And now what about is there money to be made, or
is there sponsorship to be had, most drivers.
Or does it cost a lot?
It's money to be made for the drivers and each team. I come in as a guest celebrity, and I do two races the most because I have to do
out of
the series. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I do the Skip Barber series on the West Coast, which is Laguna Seca, California Speedway, that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's different. That's open wheel cars. This is
This
is fun because I get to go to Indianapolis and race in front of 250,000 people before the F1 races, and we do two races Saturdays.
And what? Now, what kind of do they modify the track so that you head into the infield, or is it just an oval?
Yeah, no, this is a street course.
In Indianapolis.
At Indianapolis, the same course that the F1 race is at, which is open has been open for the last 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
See that, Drew?
We do the qualifying last year. It was in September usually. Now they moved it to June, which is better because it's hotter and we don't have to deal with the rain. But in September we've been dealing with the rain, so it's kind of tough to get in on the track and qualifying in the rain. That was pretty challenging.
Wow, what a life, Drew. What do you do?
Get up early in the morning, take kids to school, work
all day.
That's
right.
Me too, man.
That's crack funny. In the sack by the whip of his old lady as he leaves the door to try to make more money to bring home to her that night. Yes, true.
And then cart the kids around in the afternoon.
That's
help them study.
That's a good man.
That's right. It's good, boring man. All right. Antonio Zapata Jr. is here tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Antonio Zapata Jr. is here tonight. Got himself a little show called Help on the WB. That is Friday nights at 9:30. Let me tell you how far this show has slid down. Drew used to use these yellow Post-its. Drew, there's a computer screen in front of me. Drew reads the calls. I don't read the questions, and then he goes and puts a little yellow Post-it by the question or the caller that he wants to talk to next, and I punch him up. But we haven't been able to find the Post-it pack for a while, so right. Drew has ripped off a cassette sticker, basically. The right. things you would stick to the front of a cassette.
To write, put a label. You're like cassette labels.
Party Mix, 1993.
Yes. Right.
When you take that road trip with your frat buddies.
That's right.
Drew's torn one of those off, torn it in half. He now sticks it to the screen.
Now, to be fair, I haven't torn one off. I've been handed these and asked to use these.
I see.
And you hear me every night asking for the stickies.
Listen, Chris, what are we, Jeremiah Johnson over here? Let's get some sticker. Where's the sticker?
Sticker.
Oh, ooh, now Drew using the round cutout hot dog shaped center section.
Yeah, see, it's the center.
That's clever.
That's nice.
That's sharp.
But now you're not going to peel it off the screen.
I'll get it off. I mean, I'm going to draw a little arrow.
Nice.
I'm going to draw a little arrow on it. Says which way we're going. And Drew, don't put the sticker over the person's name doing lately. That is a disaster.
Well, you always, as you go to the call, I've noticed you pick them off. Anyway.
I can't see what their names are.
Here we go. Come on, relax. We're good. It's all good.
All right.
It's good times. Quiet.
Harley.
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yes.
What's up?
I've had endometriosis for about 2 years, and in January my dad died, and I started my period. For 2 months, and then I stopped, and my OBGYN switched my birth control because he said my uterus, the lining of my uterus was thinning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wait a minute, how'd your dad die?
He was out running.
And just dropped dead?
Yeah, he went into V-fib.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm not running anymore.
I was telling Tony about exercise.
Wow, yeah. How old is he?
You mess around
52.
With it.
I'm so sorry. That's awful.
Yeah.
And
did he know he had heart disease?
No. Well, he was being worked up by the doctors.
For what?
He'd just get really lightheaded when running, and he'd get pain underneath his arms. And then on Saturday, he went out running with the heart monitor on, and everything was fine. He had no symptoms or anything.
Wow.
And on Sunday, he just dropped dead.
So. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And so, now what, listen, I don't want to twist a knife here, but what would they have done? What could they have done?
Well, it depends. Well, there's a lot of things, actually. It depends what the cause of this is. Is he on any medication?
No.
Was he?
Well, he was on Mirapex for his restless legs at night, but that was it.
You wonder if that somehow had something to do with it.
Well, they didn't.
Because it could be a purely, he might have had some valvular heart defect. He might have had some coronary disease, some ischemia.
He had coronary artery disease. We did an autopsy.
So he was known to have that. Okay. I mean, now you know he had that. They were trying to evaluate that, but they probably felt like, well, maybe he can't possibly have that, a guy that goes out and runs like that.
Yeah.
And when you have that, he had a heart attack.
Well, he was on the Atkins diet for over a year also.
And I wouldn't blame that.
Okay.
No.
Mm. All right, baby doll. Well, sorry to hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, so now you got your own problems.
Yeah.
And they said your lining was thinning?
Well, you were on a progesterone pill, a low-dose pill, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was on Levlin.
Right. She wasn't getting enough estrogen.
Right. And so they switched me to Norinil.
Norinil, uh-huh.
Yeah. And I've started my period again.
Okay. Good.
But the thing is I'm getting endo pain again. So
endometriosis.
Right. Yeah. So I'm wondering if I should be on Lupron because I'm going to college in the fall.
No. Just stay with the pills.
Okay.
I doubt that it's even endometriosis that you're having. It's probably just what's called dysmenorrhea.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about driving again. So I got it.
I like talking about pelvic pathology and electrophysiologic events. It's
As it would pertain to driving.
As it pertains to driving?
Well, Antonio's here. And Antonio Sabata Jr., I found out, has a Porsche GT3 and races in Stuttgart. And, oh, my God, like his life couldn't get any better. It just did. But here's the thing. So as a guy who likes to drive and probably likes to drive fast, it drives you insane driving in this town, I'm sure, with everyone dragging their ass everywhere. Now, here's the thing, and I don't stop me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
New York is congested.
Mm-hmm.
New York has way too many cars and not enough roads, and arguably the traffic is slower in New York. It doesn't bother me because everyone is shaking their ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, look. You may be averaging 8 miles an hour in Manhattan and averaging 15 here. I'm bothered more here because here it's just sort of out of it.
Well, we hear the streets are bigger than New York, and they're driving slower.
You have
all this freeway space,
yes,
and they're still driving slower.
And nobody's honking their goddamn horn in this city.
No, they just use it for other things.
Right.
It's not used for what it's supposed to.
No, it's waving at their neighbor and doing that confusing thing that people seem to do when they drive off from your house. You're waving, all right, I'll see you guys. And Connie and Chuck, I'll see you two Monday morning at work. All right, bye-bye. You start walking up the stairs. Toot, toot. Huh? What's going on, you guys? And they're driving away. It's like, what are you doing?
You know,
Don't honk. You're leaving.
The next people that are getting their licenses, the 15 to 16-year-olds, they should all go to courses right now. I don't care where you're from. Go to courses for at least a week or two.
That's right.
Skip Barber or whatever, just a racing course.
Learn
really
how to move it along.
Those aren't our problems, though.
Well, we...
It's the adults that emigrate.
Yeah, those are the ones that don't speak the language, but they were given the opportunity to drive by some guy in Davis.
Him. Gray Davis. Here's the thing. It really hit home today because I had to drive on Sunset on the Sunset Strip from Beverly Hills all the way to sort of East Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of almost gridlocked all the way down. There's like 6:30 in the evening, and you think, oh, it's traffic, it's trash, and then you sort of work your way up to the point where eventually you're looking in your rearview mirror at 80 miles of traffic, and you're behind two cars, and the stoplight changes and it turns green. And they sit there for a four count
before, on their phone
before anyone. No one moves. Yeah. And then I'm honking, and everyone's like, "Hey, buddy, what's it?" Say, "Hey, buddy, you have a wagon train of 10,000 cars behind you, and you're both just sitting there."
Yeah.
It's like the light changes. Everyone's go, move. It's like nobody has it, and then they're both.
Why did you drop down the fountain?
They're both, I'll get into it later. I wanted to be seen here. They're both screaming at people and honking the horn. And the only thing that's weird about me, I'm a C-list celebrity. People must go, hey, some nappy-headed guy that looks like the Man Show guy is like pitching a fit car behind me. I wonder if I should kick his ass.
But I
can't help it. It's like, and then they get next to each other, and it's like they're going 30, they're going 31, maybe 29, just sort of next to each other, like the pace cars or something in this race.
Slower than that.
Waiting for them to pull off the track so we can go. It's like, look, what do you drop behind and let the... He's just, what's going on? How come there's no let's go? Let's go, everybody. Let's move. And by the way, you people who are behind these people who aren't getting on the horn, get on the horn. And people are like, well, it's rude. Well, let me tell you something. I'll tell you what rude is. If you're walking down the sidewalk and someone was just sort of dragging their ass in front of you, so you step to go around them, they put their arm out and said, no, get behind me.
That's rude.
That's rude, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're saying, the guy missed his turn, so he's going to try to wedge into the left turn lane and hold up his entire... Get on the horn. If this is New York, we have shamed this guy into moving. No. You screwed up. You drive to the next light. You turn
in. They're all
looking
around and just witnessing what's going around. And they're all afraid of LAPD and stuff. Which,
I know.
Which actually, the cops are doing worse things than the people actually driving. The speed traps and all that stuff.
I was
going to
bring my ticket in tonight. I got my
speed trap ticket?
I'm
fighting mine because it's ridiculous.
Good.
I mean, you're going four cars all together at the same speed, but the guy picks one car out of four cars.
Yes. Well,
because of the speed.
And on the street I was on, people routinely drive 50 miles an hour. It's like a freeway area.
Yes.
And he goes, oh, no, it's posted 30 miles an hour. And I drove all the way down to the end of the street at the beginning of this long avenue.
Look,
30 miles an hour.
That's ridiculous.
The terrorists taught us nothing. First off, we got to stop feasting on the wallets of our own and start focusing on the folks abroad.
Go save somebody's life
up.
Instead of stopping somebody and creating a madness.
And listen, we're living in L.A. It is already one big gridlock. Let us move. Let us breathe. Give us some air.
Yeah.
If there's a stretch of highway that opens up, it's dry.
Now what about those
safe.
Cameras? Remember those cameras they had all those mechanical problems and they started putting in everything. And then that's a different company that doesn't even work with our state. All that stuff goes on every day.
It's raping your citizens. Come on, let us drive.
Yeah.
And by the way, like I said, I just want some public service announcement that tells people to move. Let's go. Let's get along. I wouldn't mind getting a ticket for speeding if you gave the guy who didn't turn right on the red a ticket every once in a while for sitting there holding everyone up. Give his ass a ticket. Who's more dangerous? Who's doing more harm? What about the millions of dollars lost? Everyone's parked on the freeway all day. Let's go. Let's get moving. And as far as L.A., get out there and get people moving. You do what you do. Like, they have these guys at concerts, you know? Let's go. Let's keep the line moving. Keep the line moving.
Well, that's what LAPD or, you know, the sheriff department is supposed to be doing, but they don't do
They go slow and they wait
for somebody to get to.
That's
right.
Rob, 25.
They need their money.
Rob. Yo, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Adam, my man, I had a little epiphany yesterday. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the laminated porn.
Mm-hmm.
Brought me
mm-hmm.
back to my days. I was in the Marines on ship. Everyone had their own little personal stash of porn, obviously.
Yeah.
We would do the poor man's lamination with the scotch tape, and we took it into the showers. You know, it's reusable.
Yeah, but when you pull the tape off, the pubes will come off with it sometimes.
Right, good time. Working. Good time.
You need the sailor special.
Yeah. When you're sleeping on those three Stooges bunks, you can't beat off on the bunk. You got to hit the shower and beat off.
That's
you got to use the shower. You just have the little curtains on the bunks.
I found the salt air can be very corrosive to my porn collection. I've been out at sea for months on end with my porn collection, and the salt air really takes its toll on the porn.
So we had to improvise, you know what I'm saying? And yesterday you brought up the laminated porn.
Yeah.
So today I was kind of bored. I registered the name laminatedporn.com.
Smart.
I'm gonna start selling it now.
Right.
I'm looking for a business
partner.
Like
a big
endorsement.
Metal ring, you know, just with it, just kind of.
I can be your celebrity mouthpiece.
Okay.
And perhaps we could even get one of those GT3s sponsored, and I could join the
we'll put it on my car. Yeah, no problem.
You
can be the other driver.
I'm kind of talking about my own car.
Yeah, but you got to have another driver.
Driver. Okay.
Two cars.
That's good. I say we laminate the entire car.
Good idea, man. That's awesome. I like that.
We have a little problem with exhaust fumes, but we straighten that out. We should have gone over the actual hole of the exhaust pipe. That was my mistake. I wasn't thinking.
It's the soap. It's the new soap on a rope. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's good, Rob. No, it is true that first off, porn is, it goes to hell and back for you. I mean, it takes more abuse than a coaster. You know what I mean? It really gets used a lot. And if you want something to last, you laminate it, Drew. That's all. That's all.
Waterproof, for sure.
Waterproof. You take it in the shower with you. You use it as placemats if you like. You know, when you have kids come over or something like that, you don't want to mess up the table. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Antonio Zapata Jr. is here tonight. We'll be going to Stuttgart. Be doing a little testing. We'll work out some of the bugs on the Porsche. I'll be doing a little underpants modeling and do a little co-driving. We'll be basically around Europe. I'll be phoning in though, Drew.
Okay,
keeping you posted.
All right, you know it works.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Junior. Producer Lauren is hot on Antonio Zapata Jr.'s trail to go get him. I don't mind the part where he's not in the studio. I just mind the part where I'm looking at the glass at Lauren having a chat with somebody. Yeah, here he is now. Yeah, he's back.
Right here.
Looking good, buddy.
Playing those video games, you guys have the best.
It is heroin out in that lobby.
Yeah, man.
Drew, I'll tell you what we got to do.
What?
Here's the problem with radio, this time thing. It's an interesting thing, which is you can't be a second late.
Right.
Well, Drew can, but I can't.
Right.
It's weird. It's a weird form of torture. Like, if you tell somebody, look, you got about 4 minutes, go away and come back in about 4 minutes, they can go and enjoy themselves.
Yes.
Go away, and they would still come back in 4 minutes. But if you tell them, you cannot come back 1 second after 4 minutes, they would walk away for a minute and a half, be miserable, and then come back because they're too miserable.
Yeah,
they're too tortured by it. We got to get a timer, Drew.
Yes.
We get my egg timer.
No, we should each have a little, we should each have a little timer, like,
implant in our brains?
Yes.
And then we can go play video games.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Antonio's here giving a little plug to a show called The Help, which is on WB. That is tomorrow night, 9:30, Friday nights, WB. Let's get to the phones and roll it. Tiffany?
Yes?
You're 23?
I am 23.
What's up?
I was calling because I was surprised at a comment that Drew made Drew, you said that you referred to something as being a rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you knew the origins of that phrase, and I thought that if you did, that you perhaps wouldn't use it any longer.
Well, obviously I have no idea of the origins.
Well, he assumed it was a racial slur.
Or I assumed it said something negative about somebody, and that's why I chose to use it. Yeah. So what is it? Obviously,
it's actually,
whatever its history,
ahead.
It has none of the
it
has none
yes.
of the connotation today that its history implies, but what is the history nonetheless?
Well, it, I believe it was common law where a man was allowed to beat his wife as long as he used an object that was thinner than his thumb.
That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound
and it doesn't really pertain to the actual connotation
of
the thing, does it?
The rule of thumb. It is. I've actually learned it, and I've heard it mentioned in a couple of my different women's studies classes.
Oh, you're going to one of those lesbian colleges? What do they do?
No.
Don't bother with those women's studies classes. So you want to study yourself, you get naked. You look in the mirror,
very
baby,
important.
And you rub yourself with oil. Oh, yeah, all, yeah, they're very important if you want to get angry and get even more guys pissed off at you so you can then cry abuse even more. Just relax.
Well, what
that's
are
you angry
part
at?
Of it, the oil and everything. But
yeah, well, are you lesbian?
No, I'm not a lesbian.
You got
You're
a boyfriend?
Lesbian.
I do have a boyfriend, yeah.
All right. Oh, he's got to be miserable.
And he's very good in bed.
All right. What do you do with the women's studies class?
You try to impact society in a positive
Ish.
Way.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
Using Look. That knowledge.
Yeah, okay, this is never going to work. Why? By boring radio shows? You just call up radio
oh,
shows and bore
your rhetoric
to death?
Tonight has just been fascinating, Adam, by the way.
Shut up, you tramp. Don't ever call the show again. How dare you? Let's go back to your lesbian college and have them fill your head with the useless
it's
rhetoric.
It's not a lesbian
and
I'll college.
See,
Arizona State is not a lesbian college. Very heterosexual.
Arizona State?
Arizona
yes.
State.
All right. It's you're going, you're, the classes, though.
All right. Let's relax, everybody.
All right. Who cares?
It's good times. Just study it's, right, study what you're interested in. That's fine. It's good.
I know. But what, let me say this. Shouldn't, I mean, first off, all it does is piss them off. They go in there. No one ever goes in there and tells them why.
My concern is that
get a job.
It takes such a particular philosophical orientation that it misses the sort of opportunity for academic scholarship and thought. But here's the deal. Rule of thumb is meant to mean in a general rule that applies in general situations.
Of course.
Right.
Not meant to apply to...
beating up somebody.
No, not meant to be. And nothing to do with thumbs or things thinner than thumbs.
Yeah.
There's many things in language that have derivations that we would find bizarre if we actually knew them.
Oh, we'll go look it up during the break. And let me say this. I know women are offended by them only getting 70 cents to our dollar. I'm offended, too. Horribly offended that it's that much. And I don't get about this at all. I work with women. I am married to one, and the idea that she gets 3/4 of what I get is offensive to me. It really is. Most women I know cry at work twice a week, and we'll miss twice as many days as the guys. The guys should get paid more, of course. They're better employees. Look, just go ahead and look at everything. And let me just say this. I know look, this is going to anger some people, but look, here's the reason why guys built society, because chicks can't do it. It's not because we held you down. It's because we're better at it. That's it. If you guys were better at it, you'd do it. That's all. It's no big deal. It's no shame. Just stand back. Let the guys build the bridges and relax. You go to your women's studies classes.
The female is actually a more evolved form of the human.
Sure,
just
sure. They figured out work it sucks. They're so evolved.
Hey,
figure out it sucks.
Well,
yeah. All right. Especially cute chicks.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the worst employees.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they know it. Here's what you want. You want a guy who's prematurely balding, who's overweight, and has a very low self-esteem issues, has self-esteem issues. He'll come in and bust a hump. Like over here. Look at it. It's Chris. He's 27. No, you're not balding. No, you're not fat. But you live at home. And that makes you hungry, brother. You see what I'm saying? If Chris were a hot chick, he'd be telling us to F right on off.
We've had that.
Yeah, we had Tara, the hot phone screener. She'd yell at me every day.
Are you saying I'm a hot chick?
No, if you were,
oh, okay.
You'd be yelling at me right now.
All right.
Instead of kissing ass. Yeah. Now listen, go get me some coffee and do me a favor. These mucklucks are rank. Air them out, would you?
Yes, sir. Mr. Carolla.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Antonio Zapata Jr. is here tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Antonio Zapata Jr. is our guest tonight. He's got himself a little show called The Help on the WB, 9:30, Friday nights. You watch that show, you get the ratings up, you support his racing habit. That's the whole thing.
That's right.
Because the racing ends up being like, it's really, it's like having a really bad Coke habit. I mean, if you think about the price
it's
of the car,
yeah.
The travel, the insurance.
The danger.
Oh, everything.
The danger, yeah. Although, you know, racing these days is probably safer than it used to be. Still dangerous sport.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
definitely
a lot better.
Whenever they go, look, they, you know, I watch those shows, and they start showing, like, even just the old Indy cars. I mean, they're not talking about, you know, some crazy dirt track moonshine thing. They're just talking about, like, Indy cars from the 60s. They'd be like, well, they had two gas tanks, which acted as actually the lumbar
cushions.
Support
yeah.
of the seat,
yeah.
and the side bolsters were both gas.
No helmets, yeah, just goggles.
32nd of an inch of aluminum. Between them and the high-octane explosive fuel. And they also had a supplementary one that went between the guy's legs that his nutsack rested in.
Yeah.
These guys be wearing, like, short-sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
You know, a racing outfit was a pair of dungarees and, like, a short-sleeve collared shirt. Yeah. Then you had one of those soapbox derby helmets on with the leather strap that went over your ear. It was kind of half bowl, you know. And, you know, arms hanging out. There was a roll bar, but if the thing flipped over your arms and
oh, you'd be dead. You'd
your
be
parts
dead.
Just be flying around.
Yeah, yeah, definitely so.
Yeah, and the cars just had nothing to do with safety at all.
No, they're like, just solid bricks.
Yeah, they wanted. Yeah. They're just there. You know, even it, and it's not like they didn't have the horsepower or anything back then. It's not like
no, they were,
well, they weren't. You know, they were only going 40 miles an hour. So no, they were. You know, even up until like the 70s and stuff, Porsche had their like Can-Am cars and stuff that. Had just all aluminum body frames and stuff. Mm-hmm. They had like 1,200 horsepower, some of them. Oh, yes. And the guy's feet were hanging out up past the front wheels.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God.
Because the engine is in the back of the car.
Wow.
He's sitting up front. His
yeah.
feet and the pedals are out beyond where the front wheels are. And there's just a little bit of aluminum, maybe a little fiberglass in front. I mean,
yeah.
you know, the guy gets an accident, his legs are crushed.
Yeah, we lost a lot of people just kind of learning through. In the last 34 years.
How much of it was learning and then how much of it was just bravado? Like, hey, this
yeah,
is a dangerous sport and these
I
are daredevils.
It's ice hockey.
Yeah, when they wouldn't, like, they don't want to wear the helmets.
Yeah.
And that's...
That's a little crazy.
That's the other thing, too. I was thinking about that with ice hockey. They started wearing the helmets in, like, 1980 or something. But the guys who were in the league before the helmet rule came around got grandfathered in. They didn't have to wear the helmet.
Yeah, they didn't
so, for the first 10 years of the helmet law, there'd be one guy skating around with no helmet on and his hair slicked back. And I
yeah.
thought to myself, what are you running here? Like what is this? It's like my grandpa didn't have to wear seatbelts.
Right.
Oh, because I've been driving since the 40s, whippersnapper.
Yeah, right.
No, these belt laws didn't come into play until 1988. So anyone who was driving before 1988, well, we don't need to.
Yeah, you're
oh, and by the way, we're allowed to smoke on the Jack Parr show, and we can do whatever we want because we didn't. No, you make a law, and then the hockey league, you make a law that you got to wear helmets, and everyone in the league's got to put a helmet on.
Yep.
What's that? How crazy is that? That, like, half the guys are like, yeah, what are you, new? Okay, because I won't be wearing a helmet. And, oh, by the way, there's no such thing as slashing when I join the league, too.
I'll
be clubbing you about the helmet, ironically, with my stick. That's cool, right? I got
yeah.
here first.
Yeah.
What?
It's tradition.
They want people to take them. Okay. All right. Go back and think about that. Think about any other league and then think about that rule. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it makes no sense at all.
All right. Well, anyway, race car driving, very dangerous. Now it's a pussy sport. Now then. No, it's still dangerous, but they're at least attempting to make it safe, where in the past they were like, look,
yeah.
Few people die each year, they die.
It's, yeah, they should stop using methanol, though, for cars, like in the kart series, that's for sure.
Because it burns clear?
It burns clear, and it's just really dangerous. You can't
it burns
see it.
Hot.
And, you know, just and, you know, like in Formula One and other type of racing, I appreciate it more in ways because They use the same gasoline that we use in our cars, you know. And then,
oh, they do?
Yeah, Formula One, ARC, you know, Porsches, you know. It's just more octane, but it's the same. But if we start using methanol, which is jet fuel, it's a little bit crazy.
Methanol's embarrassing, too, because you see you can't see the flame.
Right.
No, so the guy's
burning. So the guy's standing by the side of the car, and he's just flailing like a madman. And you're like, hey, what's that guy doing? And he's jumping up and down like an idiot.
Yeah.
You look stupid. You need minus the flame. You just look like an idiot. It's like, imagine if you're being attacked by a bear, but we couldn't see the bear.
Yeah.
look at Drew. He's high.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going crazy,
this
kid.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, exactly.
Lock him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, invisible bears, Drew, huh? That wouldn't be funny, would it? But that's what Antonio's saying with the methanol.
Let's use it for our act commercial.
Yeah. Invisible bear. You'd just be thrown around, banging into a dumpster, being torn apart. Look, Drew's arm came off, and it's seriously being dragged into the forest. Wow. Chris?
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
Jeez, I had a car question.
All right, hold on.
But I can't think of what it was, though.
Oh, I got a car question.
Yeah.
If Formula One is the most advanced automobiles in the world, the most expensive automobiles, the cutting edge Formula One is.
Yes.
Why are they not using methanol and they're using pump gas, essentially?
Because they're taking the same technology and giving us that technology in our cars that we buy for the street.
Right.
So, I know what I was going to say, too.
As far as tires and technology in the car, paddle shifting is being brought in cars nowadays.
Right.
Tiptronic, all that stuff. F1 gearbox, which are really great gearbox, are being brought in a lot of cars. And fuel, tires mostly. I mean, the testing is really for tires, for Bridgestones. And
really?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you can last a race and do well on tires, then you know you want to buy those tires. You know that because you can finish a race with gasoline, but you can't finish it if you have no tires.
You guys were talking about accidents, when I was thinking to myself, you know, the one thing people do not appreciate that even if something doesn't crumple in on you, you don't catch on fire. Your body going from 150 miles an hour to zero,
yes,
can rip rip apart. I mean, your aorta can tear in half. All kinds of things inside
your body. I broke a rib. I didn't even know it when I was racing go-karts in Australia. And because I was racing so much and I was strapped in and I was doing so many laps. And then after I got home that night, I was like, something hurts behind my back. And it was a rib that was kind of messed up, and it was broken.
I remember when I was racing go-karts in Van Nuys over at Pepe's by the
airport. Oh, those are great, man.
By
it's
the
still
airport.
There.
Yeah.
I take my son there.
Broke a hymen.
Still there.
Broke a
hymen. So, you broke your hymen? Well, dude.
Now we know the truth.
What I'm saying, we've...
Your B hymen or your hymen?
B hymen. Yeah. Thank God they scotch guarded those seats because I left a little memento there. But what I'm saying is all us warriors have had our trials and tribulations, and it goes with the sport.
Of course.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, now let's talk to Chris.
Chris? Yeah, I don't think Pepe is there anymore. You're 25?
Yes, sir.
All right, what's up?
I guess I'll forward this to the very passionate doctor. I'm afraid that you might kind of pass this off to my homoerotic profession there. But lately, just the sex drive has been kind of not there. And I'm wondering if the hours that I'm working, I work 10 to 6 at night, just kind of the complete flop of the body clock.
Oh, that'll mess you up. Has your diet changed any?
Somewhat. I've been working nights for a couple of years now, though. But
Your fireman, it says?
Yes, sir.
Don't you do a couple days at a time?
Yeah, I thought there were 24.
No, there's a lot of departments that work 24 on, 48 off, that sort of thing. We're a smaller department, so we work 3 8-hour shifts.
Oof.
Man, it's still 3 8-hour shifts. It's still only 24. This fireman is a great gig.
Yeah, but they do it in the middle of the night, though.
Well, he does it because he's a low man on the fire pole.
Ooh.
I could have said totem pole. But the point is eventually he'll be working Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 5 and, in the catbird seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting tired and flip-flopping your schedule will F up everything, will it not?
It really can.
You'll get, like, depressed. You won't be horny.
Yep. And the losing weight, changing your diet, getting depressed, all these things can definitely affect your libido.
Okay.
Is there anything else, you want any medication? Have you had anything else go on?
No, I'm not an abuse survivor. I'm not a Mormon, so
No.
Okay.
No, are you a Mormon? No, is... Yeah, he answered. No, I'm not even going down that path at all. It's more about the path of your physical condition, not even your health, just sort of the stress your body's under right now. And when your body needs to conserve, whether it's conserving, you know, energy by because you're trying to lose weight. When people lose weight, they're on low-calorie diets, they complain their libido goes down. Mm-hmm. When they don't sleep, their libido goes down. When they're depressed, their libido goes down. So, yeah, you clearly have a situation where you could be causing that just from your work schedule.
Okay. Right. I was wondering if it would, you know, be the work schedule or maybe an underlying medical problem or...
Well, you should be checked out just to be sure because that's, you know, almost any condition you can name can affect your libido.
When are you going to get on days?
I have no idea. I'd love to do it tomorrow, but... when there's an opening, I suppose.
And when do you? Let me ask a couple things. First, have you ever done one of those hunky calendars?
No.
Well, Antonio did one called "Here's What I Would Look Like in My Underpants If I Was a Fireman."
Yeah, that was my hose.
You ought to do a whole series of Antonio Zapata Jr. If he was a cop. Here's what he looked like in his underpants.
Because women would love that.
They would eat it up. And, you know, there was, I just saw a whole thing on, Entertainment Tonight where they're like, New York's finest, out posing, and the guys, big buff guys. Firemen are buff because they work out all day.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. They put a gym in the firehouse. The guys hang out waiting for the alarm to ring, and they have a lot of time. Whereas cops aren't quite as buff because they work, and then when they're done working, they would have to go to the gym.
Right.
Whereas you're sort of on the clock. Like, Drew, if someone said, look, hang out here for about 8-10 hours. There's the gym. The phone may ring every, hour and a half or two. You'll have to give some advice to a troubled teen. But until then, just, hang out. You'd be working out, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So these guys look great. And then they do these super beefcake things where they make these calendars, and everyone's sort of like, oh, that's great, isn't it? But it's kind of weird. What if we had, chicks of the DMV, the sultry ladies of the DMV, or the post office, chicks in their bra and panties representing, pushing a mail cart or something. Wouldn't people be outraged? Wait a minute.
Well, didn't they do the Walmart or their, girls?
They do it like
you gotta remember. You got to remember.
Don't they?
Guys don't need the occupation or a story attached to pictures of women.
No, we need hot chicks.
Yeah. So the story does not matter. It's for women, they like the story.
Said this
they like
many
the
times. You go to a, the male stripper comes out dressed as the cop, dressed as the fireman, dressed as the
Indian
army
chief.
Sergeant.
Yeah.
Not the Indian.
No, the point is, I'm the Indian.
That's not a job, by the way.
But the point is, there's a story attached to it. And the more peculiar sometimes.
Drew, only you can crack a story this bad. Right. No, women are attracted to a guy who's got a gig. And then he's going to get naked. Whereas, meaning women want to see the guy who's dressed as the cop, dressed as a fireman, dressed as whatever, Indian chief. You did this to me last time with this, by the way. Men have a stripper come out. Your job, dress like a whore.
Well, they want to. Your job is the stripper.
Your job is to get naked.
Yeah.
Not look like you got a job and then turns out you're naked.
You have a job.
Right.
Job is stripper.
Indian chief.
but that's the point. Guys just want what that it's supposed to be. They don't need to attach any story. I use the Indian chief because they want story and context and romance. All this kind
they
of
want
stuff.
A job.
Well,
they like when a guy's working and nude.
Yeah.
And the underpants model, that's the best. That's gig and naked. That's what a job. How do you get a job? How do they figure out you look good in your underpants?
They ask you to take off your pants.
Yeah. Do you have to go into Calvin Klein and try on a few pair of their underpants?
I did, yeah. My package, did pretty good. So
and be honest, is there any chubbing up that goes on before, we do a very important segment called Be
Honest.
Yeah,
they have a little gin for chubbing up in there.
There should you want to get a little blood. No, I'm talking about, in the shorts. You want to get a little blood circulating. To fill out, the pouch.
I guess you could.
If one needed to. So he's being honest. Mm-hmm. If you needed to, Adam, you could.
I'll tell you what I do is I take a cucumber and I take a big fat rubber band. I make it, and I just pull it just about an inch and a half down from it, and then I just slide that whole thing down there. Or I take a pipe cleaner and wrap it around about an inch down from the end of the cucumber, and then I just shove the whole thing in there. No, I just wedge it in there.
Yeah, I see.
The band gives a nice realistic effect to it.
Anatomical effect.
I've tried it before with just a cucumber, and it was so smooth, people got suspicious.
You need that architectural appointment.
It look a little supernatural.
Yeah, it? And I've learned I have to tuck what I have between the legs because they'll get confused.
Really? They'll even notice it?
Sometimes they'll say, wow, it's a huge vein you have on your penis. Like, thanks. I got to kill myself. Wow. Is it varicose? You got to take care of that. What do you got? You got like a... you got like a raisinette or something stuck to your penis, or like Good and Plenty. Is there Good and Plenty stuck to your penis? All right, let's talk
to... Do they have Good and Plenty anymore?
I don't know if they have Good and Plenty anymore. Mike and Ike.
Yeah.
There's either Mike and or an Ike stuck to the side of your cucumber. Megan?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, well, I just had sex for the first time, and I was wondering if it's normal to not have an orgasm, like, the first couple times.
Yes, it's normal to never have an orgasm with intercourse.
That's right. It's goddamn right.
Majority of women...
Listen to him.
Megan, a majority of women...
Majority.
A majority. Over 50% of women will...
50%.
I know. In Adam's world, it's 150%. Yes.
Percent.
But, Megan, most women do not have an orgasm with intercourse ever.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That is the way it is. And some women, and about 10%, have a multiple orgasm all the time, and that's just the way they are. And there's an intermediate group that sometimes has it with intercourse, but usually doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But at 16, there's plenty of time.
Yeah, 16, very few would have an orgasm with intercourse.
Like, the only time I've ever had an orgasm is with, like, oral, and I was drunk at the time.
That would put you in the normal category, and that's probably where you're going to stay.
Okay.
Do not expect to have it with sex necessarily.
Yeah, but at 16, there's time to evolve.
Right, in your 20s, sometimes things kind of... This is a biological fact of women. This is the way you're wired and constructed. And for some reason, we've led women to believe they're flawed if they function like a normal human, female human.
I was trying to think about Antonio, and it's interesting because he's a good-looking guy. He's an underpants model. When he gets with a woman... Mm-hmm. I was wondering if, A, they would be more likely to have an orgasm just because women work.
Oh, but I know the difference, man.
No, I'm not saying a fake one.
Yeah.
Because their head is so involved
if they would have it,
More likely to have
it. Well, here's the interesting. For a woman, 70% of the experience can be just sort of where she's at emotionally, whereas guy could be at a funeral and you could put a shop vac onto his penis. And he could be standing there viewing an open casket, and something would eventually come out if there was a physical stimulation were long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Women, if they're mad at you, or they're not in the right place emotionally, or they're whatever.
Or you're somebody they've idolized.
So here's what I'm wondering. If Antonio Zapata Jr. shows up, and they've been looking at your billboard in Times Square for long enough, and there's a fantasy that's
built around it.
Does it help? And there's no way of answering this. Or...
You could do the math.
Are they freaked out?
You could ask you're at zero, Adam. So we can compare your study group versus Antonio's.
Right.
So Adam's never had a woman orgasm during intercourse.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Okay, say no more.
I guess that means more than one for Antonio.
Right. Well, are you married now?
I was, no.
You were married, not anymore. You date around?
I kind of retired for a little bit, but I was for a minute.
You had a good run for a while there?
I had a good run, yeah.
I could imagine. And most of the women, they knew you, and they'd seen you, they were attracted to you. I mean, in a way, and don't be modest, but women have those same kinds of fantasies, too, where they see an attractive man on a billboard or on a commercial, and they think about being with him.
Well, they have the whole alpha male thing.
Yeah, they have the alpha male thing, and he shows up in his fire suit talking about Trans Am racing in Europe.
Yeah, riding my horse, too.
Right, pulls back and lands, pops off. He's in full fire suit, helmet and everything.
The whole bit, yeah. Come on, I have it in the back of my Porsche.
Yeah, and he's like, easy, baby. threw a hip out go-kart racing in Australia, so... But I would imagine A, it would make it easier, or B, maybe it's too much, maybe it's too intense, they're freaked out. You know what I mean? Like, here's what I mean. Notice any difference in women from before you were a celebrity and after you were a celebrity?
Yeah, definitely so. I've met some crazy ones. I mean, where they don't want to be with me because they're... There was one particular where she was so insecure with herself that she didn't want to be with me, and I wanted to be with her, and I cared about her so much, but...
She wanted to be naked in front of you?
No, she didn't want to be naked. I adored her. I think she was great, but because she was so insecure with herself to be with me, for some reason she made it possible to split up.
She just sort of freaked out, like
she made it. No matter how self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, you're gonna dump me because you're international and good looking and stuff. So I'm just gonna break this up before we even get
going. Destroyed. She's,
that dude would never do that.
Never.
Dude, like you get a shot at a Victoria's Secret model and you're like, no, please, no.
He would be hanging around
your lips from my penis.
Clinging
sorry,
to her
stop.
Ankles as she walked out the door.
Yeah. Well, no. Here's what I would be thinking. I think you would be too. It's like, how many times can I have sex with this chick before she catches on and wises up? And it goes to Antonio's place.
Well, it made me feel like, you know, listen, all the time we spend together, everything we try to talk and all, it's just a bunch of, you know what, you know, BS, you know. And that's the world that we live in, that we talk a lot, or at least I try to express my feelings at times, and most of the times, and people are just not listening. They have too many things to think about.
What
to
do
you
say?
No.
I think the reality is they don't know how to express or come to terms with their own feelings.
They blame everything.
They don't take responsibility for things.
Right.
And all the talk in the world doesn't go anywhere.
I just think
if a chick has been staring at your bigger than life picture in Times Square for long enough and then you get with her, that's going to help. Whereas a guy, it could actually screw him up a little bit. Other way around.
You know, you get
with Claudia Schiffer, you're bound to pull a groin or something. Drew's gonna be pulling his Calvin's down. Your voice gonna crack. You're getting all weird.
But
yeah, so, you know, you might get freaked out a little bit. No, not Drew. Drew's a man of such exquisite passion that he could not be thrown from this. No, you're saying. Yeah, what I'm saying to you is like, well, if a lion is used to eating zebra meat and then you put filet mignon in front of it, it might be a little tentative. No, you're just digging in with that much more passion and verve. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
All right. Okay. I'd F Claudia, too. I agree. All right. What are we doing? Are we taking a break?
Break time.
I'm getting all hot talking to Antonio because he's nailed a lot of hot chicks, and it's like I'm living vicariously through him. All right. Drew, ask him tactfully if we can smell his junk.
No.
Okay.
I'll sign you a couple. I'll leave them downstairs.
Thank you.
No problem.
We'll say tactfully.
I think I meant
tactfully. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, who are we speaking to, Drew? Muscle spasm.
Melinda? Yeah, up in 5.
All right. She's boyfriend showed affection before they dated. Now nothing. He's cold and distant. We'll get to him after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Antonio Zapato Jr. is here tonight. He is from The Help, which is on the WB. Friday night's 9:30. That'd be tomorrow night. The Tina Fey in here Sunday night, along with Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live. All right, Drew is looking up a rule of thumb on the computer. Yeah, does it say anything about talking into a goddamn microphone over there?
Can I talk
into
this mic? Yeah.
Oh, that's good engineering, Chris. Okay, can you hear me? You give him a Campbell's can with some yarn tied onto it?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Here's the deal. There's no formal reference to having... This is becoming sort of a reference to... It's folklore. It's becoming almost a urban legend, this business about the beating of the wife.
Hold on a second. A caller called up about half an hour ago, got on Drew for using the term rule of thumb, and said she was at her woman's studies class and couldn't believe that he would be so insensitive as to use a term like that, which meant... something about making it okay to beat a woman.
Right, English common law reference, but apparently researchers of legal decisions have never turned up any reliable evidence of any actual references to this as a legal decision. So this one website, the guy went back into the history books and found that it's derives from woodworkers or constructors who knew their trade so well they rarely or never fell back on the use of such things as rulers. Mm-hmm. Instead, they'd measure things for, by example, the length of their thumb.
Uh-huh.
Which and, you've talked about before, too.
Right. And Drew found that on shutyourfattraphoe.com. Get over here, Drew. I believe we waste time with this nonsense. He's calling this show. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm a champion woodworker. Turns the ladies on. Let's talk to Melinda. Any home improvement questions for me?
About wood and stuff?
Anything. Anything about the house?
Well, I don't know. If I say maybe drilling, it might mean something else.
Yeah, you're going to get it. Hear me going again. Oh, wait a minute. Pushed the wrong thing. Melinda.
Yes?
You're 16. What's up?
Me and my boyfriend, we just started going out maybe a week or so. And, you know, before we started going out, you know, he acted like he really liked me and everything. And then, a little bit after we started going out, he started acting like he hates my guts.
Did you sleep with him?
No.
Okay. Ooh. Well.
I'm still a virgin.
Okay, right. Good. Maybe it's just not working out. He's not your boyfriend after a week, by the way.
Oh, he's not?
No. He may be working into boyfriend. He may want him to be your boyfriend. You may sort of betroth himself to you and become your boyfriend. The week you're just kind of figuring dating and thinking about becoming boyfriend, girlfriend.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's not going to work out. Either this is how he conducts himself in a relationship because he has trouble with intimacy or just, you know, doesn't know how to express himself or be empathic with other people, or this isn't working out for him. He just is pushing you away.
Yeah, I just didn't like it very well because, you know.
Yeah, get rid of him.
Well, I told him I was going to break up with him, and he said, oh, don't, I'll change, you know. It's like,
give him a couple days.
Okay, well, look, here's the thing. If a guy starts in too early, that's a bad sign. Guys are evil, but you shouldn't know it for at least 18 months.
Right, he shouldn't drop into his lazy stride in the first week.
Yes.
He should still be showing you the new broom.
That's right, which sweeps clean.
That's right. Speaking of sweeping clean, I would just use the drinking fountain out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still clogged up from last night when you hawked into it.
So got my phlegm from last night?
It's disgusting.
That's a powerful statement, Drew. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
You cleaned that up, man.
It was clogged even though my barnacle was stuck next to it, though. And, Drew, what gets snoogies out of the sink better, cold water or hot water?
Cause
hot seems to irritate them.
No? It'll break them down better.
Antonio, you should have been in that movie Speed.
Yeah.
This is going to be my new interviewing technique. We have guests on, and I tell them what movie they should have been.
Yeah.
You should have been in that movie, A Bridge Over the River Kwai, dude. That was a good movie. You should have been in that one.
He was three at the time.
I just give a list of movies I thought you should have been in. No, because not only was it about Formula One racing, but there was a guy in it who looked a lot like you.
He should have been in Grand Prix.
My dad was in Grand Prix.
Oh, your dad was in Grand Prix.
My dad was in Grand Prix. He was the second driver with Yves Montand, Nino Bartolini.
Wow.
He drove the Ferrari.
Hold on.
It's in the blood, man.
I'm
going
to kick my dad in the nuts the next time I see him.
John Frankenheimer. He was the lead with James Gardner.
That was an awesome movie.
Yeah, that was the best race car movie.
I came up with that.
Isn't that funny? It brought it up.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's my dad. Yeah.
Have I ever mentioned that film in the entire time you've known me?
No.
Yeah.
No, you've never. No, you've talked about Le Mans.
You would have thought I'd seen that film even?
No. No, I didn't know. But it was that. I get the two confused. I know the one was Steve McQueen and the other was
James Garner.
And
there's no comparison with both.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and watch both of them. They're both real interesting. And who's your mom? Is she an actress?
No, she's just a
good-looking person.
Yeah, good-looking person from Prague.
Oh.
They met in Italy and we grew up in Rome and then we moved here in 1985.
Same thing. You replaced good-looking in Prague with North Hollywood and
I ended up here.
Exact same life. Same life.
Leave out the good-looking part.
Yeah, as I say, you got to get rid of good-looking, get rid of Rome, replace with North Hollywood, and
that's you.
Then we could have been brothers.
That's it, man.
All right, time to redeem ourselves with a little Germany or Florida.
Mm.
We got burned badly last time. Mm. Cameo.
Hey, Adam.
Hey,
what's up?
What's happening? You got Germany or Florida for us?
First off, you guys are awesome, and
thanks.
Drew, your book sounds real interesting. I want to buy it one day, but got to hold it.
If it's too expensive in hardback, it's coming out in paperback in a couple months.
Okay, yeah. I'm waiting for that one.
And it's come back in tissue back, too. I think there'll be its third
tissue
pressing.
Back, yes.
There should be one more after paperback. Like, everyone goes from the hardback to the paperback to...
Papyrus? What are we going to put it on?
Yeah, like banana leaf. something. Yeah, something that it's wrapped in. You know what I mean? That's even cheaper than paper.
Toilet paper, I guess.
Yeah, go from like $24 down to $12. This would kick it down to like $7 or $8. Mm. And we could all wait for that. Yes, Drew?
Yeah,
no?
Great.
Okay. Cameo?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm actually about interested from too much fun and Nazis. Mm-hmm. Sex with and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida.
That's right. And Cameo, let me say this about you and Dr. Drew's book. You can't afford not to read it.
Nobody can afford that.
Not to read it. Go ahead, Cameo.
An actress is taken to the hospital after an artist injured her breast while trying to cut open her bra with a chainsaw during rehearsal for a stage show. The chainsaw operator was lying down during the rehearsal, and he suddenly bent forward just as he was applying the saw to her bra, and he couldn't pull back the chainsaw quickly enough and cut her breast and stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Nasty.
Germany.
Tough. We went Florida last
stage
time. We got burned.
Stage show circuses.
Yeah, Florida doesn't have a lot of stage.
Yeah, but they got a lot of circus over there.
Oh, Germany. They got a circus show every day there.
That's yeah, Ringling Brothers. Come on.
You think they could deal with the liability of what are you laughing about, Cameo?
Quiet down. This is a very important decision. Nope. Oh, Cameo, just
stop smoking. I was just coughing. I wasn't laughing.
She took a bong load. Relax. Okay, We went Germany last time. We got screwed.
Let's think about it, though. Let's think of the reason.
Let's think about it. But how about we dedicate the rest of the show to
again,
it?
I tend to think in terms of liabilities and what this country will tolerate. They wouldn't tolerate a show where there was a potential to even cut somebody.
You'd be amazed, though, at what they do with that kind of stuff.
Really?
Because on one hand, they're all freaked out about child safety seats. On the other hand, they're throwing hatchets at a chick on a spinning wheel on the Tonight Show.
A couple of things. She laughed when we mentioned Germany, as though sort of diabolically. And number two, chainsaw. Germany's not chainsaw country.
They have chainsaws.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But I mean, it's not a. It's sort of a.
Okay, but
it's a redneck thing.
All right, but this isn't Bierstein country, but yet people possess
beer.
Them. Okay,
that's a tough.
One. Let's go Germany.
Yeah, you guys got it right. I blame it on my friend. She was laughing in the background.
Yeah, but her laughing did not mean we were right or wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Germany, yeah.
All right, great. So we went Germany, we're right, yes?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. All right, we're back. Yeah. We're officially
we're
back.
Yeah, we're 1-0. Yeah, it's good.
We're 1-1.
Oh, 1-1.
One-on-one is... No, but no, yeah,
I declare the season begun this question.
Yeah, that was a warm-up 100%. One. That was a warm-up
one. Yeah, the first one was like, warm-up.
That was a warm-up one. And furthermore, I would say this one counts as two.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
So instead of being 1-1, what are we, gentlemen?
2-0.
2-0. First warm-up, this one counts as two. All right, let's make it 3.
Yeah.
3 or 4. 4-0.
4-0.
Season's over. This was the championship.
3.
All right, where are we going, Drew?
3.
3-0. David?
Hey, how's it going?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. I guess I'd have to say I might masturbate a little bit more than the average guy does.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, it's been, when I ejaculate, or should I say orgasm, it's been coming out a real dark tan color or even a light brown.
Mm-hmm. Or even, should I say light brown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to know what's up with that.
For me, I have a winter brew, I call it, which it'll change colors during the colder.
What color's your winter brew?
It's a darker. It's a darker color. It absorbs more sunlight. You could figure out why it would work that way. And then during the summer, it lightens up, and it thins out, a thinner coat, because it's warmer.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just caught in that transition, because I'm
And also, when you're at home, stuck inside in the cold months, you can start to work yourself excessively.
Yeah, that's right.
And the brown tinge, that's the way nature works.
A little bit of blood in there.
Yeah, it's blood.
Yeah.
So it's a little excessive there, David.
David?
Yeah.
How many times
chill
you
chill out a little bit.
What are you good for a day? 4 times, it says?
4 to 5.
Yeah, 4 to 5.
Cut down a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. Do you have a lady?
Yeah, I do, actually. We just recently started having sex. Oh.
Okay.
Right, you may want to just save a little bit of that energy for her.
But see, the thing is, now she doesn't really want to have sex anymore because it's too painful for her and her hymen hasn't broken yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's...
What are you talking about? If you've had sex with her, she does not have a hymen.
Well, but it's still painful like 6 or 7 times down the line now.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different problem.
What is it? Vaginismus?
Vaginismus or God knows what. I mean, she needs a pelvic exam right away.
Yeah, okay. And she just got a bladder infection. What should we do about that?
Well, maybe it's that rusty load he's giving her.
We can imagine the passion that he's unleashing on her.
Not a pap smear.
Imagine the passion he's unleashing.
She needs to be
treated. Dave, I don't understand. She has a urine infection that needs to be treated immediately. That can get into her kidneys and cause a very serious problem.
But if he's had sex, for sure her hymen's broken.
Well, effectively.
Hold on a second. Here's the thing. David, 19-year-old spaz from Northridge, who beats himself
to a pulp
every day, is coming up with medical assertions and clinging to them.
Well, yeah, he's developing spinning yarns in his head about how this works.
Are you going to junior college, David?
Yes.
What?
No, I go to CSUN.
All right. That is a 4-year junior college. You understand me?
Yes.
There's nothing good that comes out of that valley. I'm the only good thing that ever came out of that goddamn valley, and I'm smart enough to leave. Now I hope a flood hits and washes all my memories away. All of my horrible valley memories. All right, so look, she needs to go to the doctor.
Yes, absolutely.
Get the pap smear,
right
get everything
away.
Checked out.
Absolutely. And get the urine treated.
Let me explain.
Be very serious.
Antonio, he races the Porsches, right? Yeah. He gets the factory car. You can drive around the street as long as you want, but now when you want to bring it on the track, you got to do a few things. Thing out. You need a fire suppression system. Mm-hmm. Got to put a roll cage in. Yeah. Got to put a net in. Has to be inspected. These are safety things.
Yeah, if you burn your tires every single day, you ain't going to race nothing, you know.
You got to do certain things before you take it out on the
just
track.
Just like David's girlfriend.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I'm not talking about beating off anymore.
I'm talking
about she needs now, as a young lady, you want to go out onto the track now, which means become sexually active with partners and do whatever,
you gotta
make a little pit stop and outfit yourself. Go to the gynecologist, get the birth control, take the time, so you're safe. That's what it is.
Yeah.
No one gets hurt in there. All right. Let's see. Good question for Antonio here.
There you go.
That's a racing
question.
Oh,
there you go. Let's go.
John?
No, time for break.
Yeah. John, you got a question for Antonio? John?
That is my good language.
All right, hang on for a second.
What was that?
I'm not sure what that was. So that may have been a prank phone call, but it was so nonsensical.
It might have been from another planet, though.
Yeah. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Antonio Zapata Jr. is here tonight. His dad was in...
Grand Prix.
Oh. Mm. You know, what movie was my... my dad was in... My dad didn't even see movies. Like, my dad isn't cool enough to see Grand Prix. Forget about being in it.
Mm.
Dad was in Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to kill my dad. You know what I'm going to do? Don't take any offense to this, but I'm going to crawl up your mom and force her to birth me. And I'm going to change my name.
It's done.
To come out. No, hey, it's Antonio Zapata Jr. Jr.? Jr.?
Yeah,
that's me. Hey, Dad, where's the car? What's going on? When are we going to Europe? I got a race. Wow, he talks. He's a newborn. He's got a lot of ass hair for a newborn.
Too.
All right, we'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number. Tina Fey is going to be in here on Sunday along with Timmy Meadows from Saturday Night Live. Going to talk a little about Mean Girls. Antonio Zapata Jr. is in here tonight. His dad was in Grand Prix. That's all you need to know.
Yeah,
it's good enough.
That's about it, yeah.
What was that, like 1970?
66.
Whoa.
I won 3 Academy Awards. John Frankenheimer directed that film. It was the best race car movie of all time.
Where'd they shoot it?
They shot it at Silverstone in England and Belgium, Monza, Italy, and mostly Europe. Yeah, they didn't go to Japan. They went for the premiere in Japan, but that's about it. So Europe.
I was watching a thing on, Le Mans.
Le Mans.
And Le Mans. They were... you know, when they filmed that movie, they actually, one of the cars they used, one of the camera cars they used was like the Golf GT40, where they just cut the roof off the thing, put like a camera tripod on it and stuff.
Oh,
but,
my God.
Well, they obviously, they needed a race car in order to film other race cars, because you just couldn't have a car going 60 miles an hour getting squirrely up there.
They probably wanted some foreground, too, so like the front hood of the car.
They took the fastest car they had, and they whacked the roof off the thing. Little they know, the car would be worth $8 million right now, and they were just taking a cutting torch to it in 1970.
Beautiful car.
All right. It's a favorite game of car guys, by the way, is to sit around and lament how much they could have got a certain car for back when.
Yeah. Mm.
This is I got my buddy the Wheeze could have bought a Hemi Mustang, like Boss 429 or something, like 6 years ago. He could have got it for $29K. And then we're watching the Barrett Jackson Auto auction, and it goes for $113,000. And Holly just, now every time I see him, he just goes, you know, but, yeah, I know. You could have. It would have. Could have.
Yeah, a Ferrari cost $2,000 in 1969, but now it's worth $1.5 million, you know? could have, would have, should have.
Car guys, that's all they do. They just go, I had that car, I was going to buy that one, I could have. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing. I don't know what other, people do it with real estate a little bit, but not like they do with cars. Car guys are almost, but here's what's unfair. Car guys are thinking about buying a car every 10 seconds, and they're thinking about every car. Mm-hmm. So 10 years from now, when one goes for $5 million, they go,
I was gonna.
Yeah, you're not gonna. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 21?
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
All right. I'm, like I said, 21, and there's an older woman who I work with, and she's been, the last few months, extremely aggressive in coming on to me. I've told her no before because she's married, and she has children, and I just now found out that she recently got separated. So now she's becoming even more aggressive, and she just won't.
What kind of work do you guys do?
I work in retail. She works in an office.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Clothing.
But I mean, she is a manager there, or what?
Not necessarily a manager. She's like administration type stuff, bookkeeping, sort of work.
Oh, look, is she hot or not?
Yeah, she's very hot.
Very hot?
Yeah, like all my friends, they're pushing me for it. I don't think it's a good idea because I had a deadbeat dad.
Ooh.
And I'm afraid that, you know, I want to know the effects on her kids to give her as an excuse to tell her no.
Basically. Well, here's the deal. I mean, you could, of course, use that excuse if you want. But if you do decide to date her, just don't meet her kids.
Yeah.
Just date her. Meet somewhere, you know, go back to your place, whatever. But don't meet her kids.
Okay.
That's all. And they don't want to hear what you're doing to her, by the way.
I would never say that.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, the thing that's funny about guys, especially if the chick's hot, he has no viable excuse not to F her, so he's going to have to unless he comes up with something quick. Like, I like that, too. Like a woman would need anything more than, you make me sick, you pig, get away from me.
Yeah.
I'm not into you.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the thing about women. It's like, if you got, you know, she's hot, he's 21. He has a scrotum sack. So she's like, well, what about it? What's it? I'm gay? No, you're not. I saw you looking at internet porn the other day. Oh, Christ. I guess we got to do it. Should just bend you over here? Like, it's true. Like, he's got to tell her something.
Yeah.
He can't just tell her, hey, look, you're not my type. He needs an answer. He's thinking of working the kid angle. I just like the idea that he had to come up with something.
There has to be a workable excuse.
A workable, viable, plausible.
He's got 6 months to live. Yeah. No, that wouldn't work either.
Well, it's like you're trying to get out of the draft or something. Look, we need a note from your doctor. We need to see your fallen arches. You can't just say you don't feel good. That's not
going
to cut it.
Because you're going.
Yeah, you're going in. Yeah. Or you'll be penalized.
Yeah.
That's right. Throw you in the stockade. All right. Let's...
Three.
Zone three. Ashley?
Yes.
You're 19?
Uh-huh.
Good boy.
You got that little girl voice.
Oh.
Yeah?
So, I just recently, went on birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And, what?
We're listening.
Sorry, hold on a second. And, after I masturbate,
she what?
After I masturbate, I start to bleed.
Were you are you walking away from somebody, or what are you doing?
Yeah.
Who came out?
Oh, it was just my dad.
You're with your dad. Oh.
No, it was just my dad.
Oh, just your dad. Just was your he dad. With Father McConaughey, too?
And your teacher. And your dead grandmother. They all came into the room.
No,
hey,
anyway,
Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
To hear about a masturbation question. That's nice.
So afterwards, like the day after, it feels like it's like I'm on my period, even though it's not that time of the month.
Yes, when you're on birth control pill, you will frequently bleed constantly. That is a side effect of the birth control pill. It's called mid-cycle bleeding.
Should she adjust it?
Yeah, you got to talk to the guy, whoever's prescribing the pill.
What's the masturbation have to do with it?
If people bleed a little more, women are a little more likely to bleed after sexual stimulation of any kind.
All right.
Okay, I was just wondering because... Huh?
Okay, yeah, basically.
Hey, Ashley.
You're wondering what?
I was reading a book and it said that sometimes the uterine lining can go into the cervix.
It
and something you have to have an operation on?
No, Ashley, please. When you go on the birth control pill, this is a typical side effect. It has nothing to do with what you're reading about. Nothing.
Okay, will it go away eventually?
Maybe not unless you adjust the kind of pill you're on. That's why you need to call your doctor and talk to him about it. Okay?
Okay.
Right. Tell your dad you need some tampons and some new C-cell batteries for the Vibrate.
Got it.
Yeah, it's very upfront with the guy.
Yeah.
Dad, you going to the market? Oh. Are you going? Okay. Well, as long as you're gone. Oh, and I need a tether ankle strap because I got lost. I got lost.
Do you remember
once.
The girls asking us anal sex question? Mom came on the phone.
Yeah.
Good night, honey. Good night, Mom.
Oh, my goodness.
Good night, Father McConaughey.
Yeah. It's like the nice. Waltons. The anal Waltons. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. That's the show, everybody. I want to thank Antonio Zapata Jr. for coming in here.
My pleasure.
We had a good time. Tell everyone to watch The Help, which is on Friday nights on the WB, 9:30. All right. I want to thank Engineer Anderson for doing a magnifico job all week long. I want to thank Brian for doing a fantastic job on the phones. Who else we got over there? Junior producer Lauren, producer Ann, and engineer Chris over here. Yeah, nice haircut, buddy. You'll get some for sure this weekend. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.